I mean, she might be doing a synagogue. I'm just kidding. Being rude. So, all right, let's get to the good stuff. So, how did you realize, all right, after all that shit, I guess, went down, or were you actually pursuing comedy when you were a preacher?
Not at all. I was always a funny preacher.
Okay.
You know, I was probably a better comedian when I was a preacher than I am now, to be honest. You know, making people laugh, that all that was good. But shit got really fucked up, dude. Like, I ended up, this is something, you know, I hate to even bring this up because I like to hear Gabe's story, and this is going to take a fucking left turn here.
If it's good, I want to hear it. Well, I
ended up, all right, so part of the issues, this is fine, this is great. Part of the issues, you know, there were some sexual issues, right? And
it happens to a lot of guys, Jason.
It wasn't like impotence. My dick was fine. It was the, I was thinking I was like gay or whatever. So.
What are you thinking?
I was thinking I was gay because I never fucking hooked up with a guy or anything, but we were super homophobic. And like, you know, when you start getting...
like you and your wife, or the congregation.
The church.
Yeah, I was going to say, it had
to
be the church.
The sect I come from is a... Like, we're not mainstream Christianity. Like, the fucking shit you just spit with Constantine and all that, people don't know that. People don't know the origins of these holidays, Easter and Christmas and all this type of shit, and that he was just trying to increase, you know, numbers. No one knows shit like
that.
We knew, we were like the original... We went to the church on Saturday, okay, instead of Sunday, you know, we kept all the holy days like Passover and Yom Kippur. This is the shit I did, like hardcore, damn near a Jew. Homosexuality is like the number one sin. I'm watching porn,
which, by the way, in the Jewish religion, isn't such a, or maybe we're
full. No. They don't look kind of on that shit either.
Actually, no. Mo's right. It's not. It's okay. They look at it as a sin, but it's what do they call it? It's falling short or something instead of like a huge, all encompassing kill yourself type of thing. It's like, oh, this one is. Listen, pedophiles. There's a lot of pedophiles in the Hasidic community.
As many as a Catholic. It's a very... Yeah. It's so understated.
It's coming out better.
The Jews keep it real tight. There's a lot... They bail these guys out of fucking... out of jail. The Jewish community, like, they keep their shit tight. But there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And the thing. So the Jews are really interesting. Weird with that shit. Yeah. But for us, homosexuality was like the... You know, you don't do that shit. So.
Where'd you... Wait, one second. Where did you do all your practicing of the religion?
We were an international organization. I was stationed in Albany.
Okay.
Our headquarters was in North Carolina, and my wife worked at in Toronto at the headquarters, not the headquarters, but the regional center there.
That's
okay.
I checked myself into an ex-gay, a reparative therapy group for males who wanted to rid themselves of their same sexual attraction. I had not even fucking hooked up with
them. Or were you just confused about your sexuality, so you figured that's it?
Right now, I'm sitting. I'm not attracted to you. Look, this. No, there's nothing attractive about the male.
They're disgusting.
But there was something.
You pointed to you and me, like, these fucking guys are
fucking sloppy. But there was something like when I would get.
God invented light switches.
When I would get down, like when I would. She's shitting on us right now.
I know she is.
I shouldn't really. Yeah, I should be offended, but I think she's talking about you guys. So I'm not. She's talking about you.
I think Monica's blind.
When I would get down on myself, I would like have like weird thoughts, like I needed a male's presence to kind of like fill voids. It was really fucked up. Had father issues. So anyway, make a long story short, I joined this fucking thing. We're doing the therapy, and the one-on-one sessions are great. I'm dealing with my daddy issues. I do the group therapy. Right, because we have group therapy now with other males.
I'm not like these motherfuckers.
Yeah, that was my attitude.
Judging everyone.
That was my attitude, right? That was my attitude. And then
I do not belong here.
And then I ended up hooking up with one of the guys in the ex-gay therapy group.
Hooking up?
I ended up hooking up with one of the guys in the...
Like, total fucking, are we talking?
Nah, no fucking, but just, like, enough.
Playing. You knew what his dick was like. We get it.
Yeah.
Like, what it, like, was that an epiphany? Like, kind of like, yeah, no.
Or maybe it
was like,
eh. I think it fucked me up even more. I think I was even, yeah, I'm really, yeah. This is,
yeah,
I think it fucked me.
Stop.
I think it fucked me up anymore. I just got more.
start doing it.
I just want more. So make a long story short, like, you know, a couple years go by and I'm like all fucked up and I'm like, yeah, I need, you know, comedy was almost like a, it was almost like a refuge. It was almost like church for me because it kind of saved me because I had to like make jokes about
how
shitty. Most comics are like that. I mean, I know for me too, and I think for a lot of people, it's kind of like you feel at home because nobody in comedy is perfect. Everybody's a misfit. Everybody has issues. And it is very cathartic to go out there and talk about this stuff, but talk about it in a funny way.
In a humorous way.
Yeah.
I feel more at home amongst comics than I did out for the church. I was always trying to, like...
Just the outlook, on life is... Not to try to find the funny, but you have to be a little bit of... Even if you think morbid, you try to make it lighthearted in your own way so you can get along with, like...
Well, it's how we protect ourselves. It's how we deal with things, you know?
It's a big shield.
It is. I mean, listen, it is, but fuck it, man. I'd rather do comedy than, you know... And I'm not shitting on people who have drug addictions and things like that, but I'm just saying, like, there are different ways that people deal with things, and it's like,
absolutely. I mean,
you know?
Listen, this is, we're processing pain. When we go up there and fucking lay, even some guys who have, like, the real fucked up jokes, I always think, oh, he's probably a fuck, you know, he's probably got something, you know? And I'm good with that, because he could be out killing motherfuckers and putting them in their fridge, but instead he's telling jokes, or maybe he's got them in their
fridge. Still water's running.
But even, like, people stereotype, like, comedians as morbid, but the reality is, like, what having nothing to do with comedy, or having nothing to do with comedians... perspective is what cures diseases like laughter, love, like
drugs. Yeah.
I think it's processing pain, bro. I don't think it's. I think it's great. I really do. This shit saved me.
And there's always. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that too. I feel like, you know, it became my community for sure. It became my family, and you know, it's weird, right? Because we're all a little bit weird. We're all a little bit damaged, and we don't quite know how to deal with each other and things. But that said, like. There's a love and a connectivity and a support there. And that's why I stuck with... I was astonished. Like, I just took it as a writing class. Like, I didn't think anything of it. My dad had died. I thought I was going to have to leave New York, and I didn't. I was like, you know, I want to do something that's, like, very New York-y. And I took a writing class that culminated in, like, having to do a graduation show. And we went to some open mics to practice for the graduation show. And, like, I met some really great people there, and I really, you know, in my head, I was like, it's going to be so, like, dog-eat-dog, and people are going to be assholes and whatever. And I have, you know, seen such support and love and you know, and I was astonished by it, but it's there, and I think it's awesome.
This
I
mean,
it's
re-
and comedy. The other thing is you're always a fucking comic. Like, even if you quit comedy and quit doing stand-up, you're always a fucking comic. Like, it never stops. You think that way, you still... And even if you travel, that was the other thing. Like, I went down to Miami, and I knew, like, one person down there, and she took me to some open mics. Those people didn't know me from a hole in the wall. But, like, there was just this immediate connection.
That is the absolute fucking truth. As you all know very well, I go to Vegas a lot. And I threw it out there on Facebook, say, hey, I'm going to Vegas. Do you guys know anyone? And few people said, go hit up this guy, go hit up this guy. I've gone there now since doing comedy. I've been doing comedy almost 6 years now. And I started asking around, I guess 3 years I've been going to Vegas and getting spots. Every time I go, they're like, hey, when are you going to come back? When are you going to come back? They are super fucking cool. When people are like, oh, you're from out of town? Cool, I'll show you all the spots. I got time. Dude, you want to do 10, 15, 20? What do you tell me? How much you want? I'll give you $50, $100, whatever. It's fucking, she's totally right. It's like, it's its own cool little fraternity. It really is. Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more. All right. let's circle the wagon. So you always said you were a funny preacher, JC. How did you make that leap to say, you know what, fuck it, I gotta do something, let me get into comedy, take me from there?
Yeah, so I left the church. I did some odd jobs. I ended up getting involved in corporate America again, which I had done in my early 20s. And then I just was like, yo, I'm in a fucking cubicle. This is bullshit. Mm. Like, what am I, like, come on. What am I doing with my fucking life? You know, I'm wasting time. I think it was like 29, whatever. It was like 3-4 years ago. And I said, this is done. So I started like doing like throwing shows for my friends, which was how it started.
Where at?
In Connecticut. in Stanford.
Like at bars or
no, at like houses. Like oh, cool. You know, I had a big backyard. I had a couple. We're talking about like 35 people, you know, and we would do like little shows or whatever you want to say. I wouldn't call them shows now, that culminated in me saying, you know what, I'm going to actually quit my job and go after this, you know, full time, which may or may not have been a mistake. And then I hit up the New York scene for the first time about 2 years ago.
Right.
And ever since then, yeah, the rest is history. I have not actually worked a real job in the last 2 years.
So you're living off savings, I take it then?
I was for the first year. I actually just quit Levity. I was at Levity for about a year, and that is just like shit. You know, I pay $10 an hour, and you do this part-time. Mm. And now, just like in the last couple of weeks, I'm going back to work for real because this is...
Where to? What industry, I should say?
Marketing, which it's event marketing, so I think that's bullshit, right? Event marketing is like not a real job, I think, but it is a 9-to-5. It's a very low base salary, and there's commission. But I have no intentions on like going back to work full time. But you have to have a job. You gotta have a job. So that's where I'm at. I've been doing it. I would consider myself full time for the past couple of years. I'm going back to work. That's where it's at.
Interesting. What a story. Take me down, and then we'll get to Gabe in a second, but I want to hear like a sordid, crazy tale from being a preacher, like any kind of random, like Gabe talked about before.
Hispanics have no manners. I can't hold this pee-pee.
Go ahead.
All right, that's the fact that he called it a pee-pee, that's...
Any crazy horse, like crazy, like, I don't know, Saturday night orgies before with the church folk or some shit like that?
No, there was no orgy type situation.
No gangbangs?
Yeah, no gangbangs.
Like the Jesus juice?
But when you hear, yeah, because that's why, cause you hear crazy shit amongst, like, the super, like, religious zealot, like, shit like that you see in the news. Like,
Like, you're talking about, like, the Eddie Longs, like, the, you know, you're a huge evangelist and you end up fucking sleeping with fucking teenage boys and shit, which I have to be honest, that was in the back of my head, not teenage boys, but just being a scandalous preacher. I would never wish that upon a congregation because those people really do look up to you.
Right.
So thank God I left before I did hook up with a
guy.
You
just wanted out. Because
that would have been, huh?
You wanted out. And you weren't brave enough yet to say it, so you were kind of wishing something would happen that would kick you out.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
I got your number, Jason.
But I don't know if it was...
I don't want to go all Oprah Gosh.
I don't know if it was brave, though. What would have been brave is if I would have turned it down from the gate, I think.
No, I'm saying you weren't brave enough to leave.
Yeah.
You did. But,
eventually.
You know, that's hard.
Crazy stories, dude. You want something juicy from the church? Yeah,
something salacious. Yeah,
something salacious. Yeah, let me. Oh man, I gotta think about it. I've blocked out a lot of shit, but I don't think there's anything that juicy. I think I was probably the fucking juiciest situation that there was in that church.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But how was a comedian though? Any good stories about being a comic, banging a lot of audience members, some shit like that, random nonsense?
Comedians get ass. I've had a couple of I've had a couple of situations.
Get it?
I got beat off. I got beat off after a spot at the Grizzly Pear Grinners. Yeah,
that is a humble brag. Ding!
It's the Grizzly Pear.
And one of those got off.
And I had just done a trans joke, which is really so. This is weird. I don't know if you've heard this bit.
But the handicap bathroom.
No, I did a bit about hooking up with a trans woman, and this fucking girl is like, "Oh, that's not true," whatever. I'm like, no, of course not. This is a joke. And
was this person trans by chance?
No, she was a woman.
She didn't want to believe.
She didn't want to believe that it was real, and I, you know, so I let her believe whatever she wanted, and we went back to my car. She ended up giving me a hand job.
Yeah,
we made out a little bit.
Was she good?
I was terrible. Who
hand jobs are like VHS tapes.
I didn't even fucking let it. It was like after a couple minutes, it was like, yeah, this is. Yeah.
Why give a hand?
Hand jobs are as fucking extinct as VHS and dinosaurs.
I'll call ya.
That's why I don't get fucking going to the jerk off house with the Asians. I don't get paying to get jerked off at Or you have a girl trying, I don't want to jerk. I don't want to blow you. I don't want to fuck you. But I'll jerk you. I'm like, you know what?
We'll just part. I can jerk myself off. I do that every single fucking day.
In the act of you getting jerked off, you're doing everything in your power to like
try
to get either her mouth.
Have you ever had a good natural a good hand job?
Yes, by myself.
Yeah. Like, jerking you off. I mean, of course you're going to accept that, but like your subconscious is doing everything in its power to try to either get her down there.
Kiss it.
And like, it's just the tip. Come on, what's the deal?
Listen, if she's giving you a hand job, it's because she doesn't want to blow you. That's just the
bottom line. I mean, initially, but like if you start making out with a girl, whatever, you start then she has her hand in her pants, she starts jerking you off.
I think that's a dick thing to do. Like,
to push your head down?
No, well, that too, but... It is, because it's like, if I want to get...
You gotta be casual about it.
No, but I just don't fucking do that to a guy.
Yeah! It's third base or better with Vita.
I'm serious. Wait a minute,
don't give guys hand jobs.
No. I mean, as part of things.
Exactly.
I don't want to say like I'm all or nothing, but like I would like, I'm thoughtful. Like, I'm thoughtful about it. I'm like, look.
Yes, you are.
If this guy wants to have, like, ultimately the guy always wants to have sex with you. And I just come at it like, okay, I'm going to either have sex with this person or I'm not. Right. I'm not going to fucking, pun intended, dick around with him. We're not in junior high. I'm not giving him a hand job so he can, like, he gives himself hand jobs every single fucking day. He doesn't need me to do it.
But wait, the define, like, hand job just, like, until you fucking orgasm, like, until you fucking come. Because most organic processes is, for example, like, if you're fucking spooning in bed and usually she's the one that fucking initiates the sex... It starts off with a hand job because you're fucking passed out.
But that's different.
I get the morning alarm clock, the morning DJ alarm clock. I never get the hand job like that for the awakening. It's always the mouth on the what? Ah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
You got it made.
You have it made.
I guess. I mean,
yeah.
She knows my thoughts on hand jobs. No.
She goes right to a blowjob after your fucking stinky balls and that whole area just stink. You probably haven't showered for a
while. Morning blowjobs are tough because sometimes, you know, you got a little
dry mouth.
Come on!
Her mouth is as smart as my balls, so it's equal at that point.
That's true. When you got that out of your eye, you smell your own breath.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to kiss him. I'll just blow him because both of them can't each other out.
That's the only thing you'll let her do is blow you. You've got to
be a gentleman. You're not kissing her. Hand her a bottle of water. Like, I'm being a nice guy. Here's a bottle of water.
I recently hooked up with somebody. I felt so bad because we're out drinking, and so ripping I had skin. Major dry mouth.
Ripping skin.
He probably thinks like I don't give blowjobs, but I was like trying.
Boy, you wrong guy.
I was like, I thought about it. Like, I was like. Oh, this won't be good. we need to skip that.
But
I almost wanted to say to him, like, that. FYI, I have no problem with it. I had dry mouth. You know, like, I wanted to make that.
Why is every podcast turned to the Monica V to talk about her wanting to suck dick? I don't know.
Because it's called safe word, you idiot. And I'm the only one who's not married out of the two of us.
I like that.
Was married. Gabe Dorado.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's empty. That's empty. Don't worry. No. Gabe Dorado has also led a very interesting life. Slinging suds at Thunder Jackson's for years, if you were back in the 2010s. And you're
was there so comedy long going on back then?
No.
I tried it one time. It was a disaster.
But Gabe ran the show there.
Just like it is now.
Zing.
Talk about it.
Gabe's done a lot of cool shit like that. He's worked in Costa Rica as a bartender. Tell me, Gabe, what was it like doing, kind of doing the old midnighting cocktail Tom Cruise shit and as Monica shakes her tits? Interesting.
Like, I've done sets about it, but the reality is, like, any country outside of the U.S., especially, like, in a Hispanic, like, Latin American country, your mindset on life is completely different. For example, like, even when it comes to doing drugs, I always open the same way. Like, anybody who's been to Costa Rica, like, ladies, like, I always tell in the audience, like, if your boyfriend or your husband said he went to Costa Rica to go fishing and to play golf. I mean, the reality is it's all cocaine and prostitutes. And they probably played golf and they probably went fishing, but with a lot of cocaine and a lot of prostitutes. And the thing is, like, it's so cheap down there. Like, if anybody who does drugs, who listens to this, like, you're getting it from the first source. So you find, like, cocaine. There's no fat Costa Ricans. Like, cocaine, a bag of cocaine was cheaper than a bag of donuts. So, like, what are we gonna do? Let's just fucking party again. And you were happy down there because it was fucking. You're on a tropical island, like, it's kind of balls, dude. Like,
now I'm like, this is terrible. I'm not asking.
Are they all prostitutes?
But, well,
the answer is yes, but my buddy
was
right there.
But yeah, but I asked that because I know, like, when I was in Hungary and communism had just ended, like, everybody kind of had a prize.
I mean, honestly, it's funny you say that. Yes and no, because, like, another thing I used to say, and this is based on, like, truth, is I didn't hook up with any prostitutes when I was down there. Like, I had one girl that I was, like, consistently hooking up with.
No, you just didn't pay for it.
Well, the thing is, like, she was a bartender, and...
Prostitute, okay.
She was, exactly, I'm gonna lean into it, but she was a prostitute. She was a bartender, and, like, whatever, like, she fucking paid for everything, like...
She
was cool,
friend.
She liked, I mean, everybody kind of thought we were, like, the fact that I was living down there, like, everybody kind of thought, like, oh, like, that's your guy, like, that's who I was. Every time I went, oh, you're Vanessa's guy, but... This fucking 60-year-old guy on a yacht showed up one day, and she's like, peace. Like, so she probably was a prostitute.
You were a green card.
She became my best friend. No, we were like, it was like bartender mindset. But the thing is, bringing that back to fucking living in the States, every woman is kind of a prostitute. And I'm not being a dick about this.
No.
But, like, if you live in South Beach, if you live in fucking L.A., every girl that has fake boobs living in that scene, and I'm hot, and I'm just trying to find a fucking rich investment banker.
Yeah.
Like, intrinsically a fucking, you're a prostitute, you're a gold digger.
All right, listen.
And
we say the same thing in DR. We call them Sanky Punkies.
Sanky Punky?
Yeah. But listen, it's not, we don't even refer to them as prostitutes. It's just like, you know, they're going to help you out. You help them out.
Absolutely.
It's just kind of the way it is.
Absolutely.
It's not even.
Even in Costa Rica, it is what it the is. Old guys that were like owners and shit, this one guy had a, like, it was his Costa Rican girlfriend that they'd been together for 16 years, and every time he comes into town, he fucking gives her some money.
That's it. It's just an arrangement.
You know what the deal is? Fine. I love it when, like, you have these people who complain about, like, well, I want a guy who has a good job and a nice place and makes a lot of money, but, you know, he treats me like a princess. And it's like, no, he's going to treat you like the person you are, which is somebody who wants
He's wealthy.
Money.
He can afford to pay for
your
grass.
Trophy.
Like, as blunt as I'm trying to be, it's like, you got money and it's an escape, and, like,
and
I don't mind supporting
wrong
you.
With it, like, just fucking know the deal.
Absolutely.
Like, there's not, you know, ain't no shame, do your thing, but, you know, just don't fucking pretend.
But
like,
even, like, if I go to a small town in fucking Kansas, like, there is that barfly that's like, hi, gonna buy me a drink? Like, it's the same shit. Like, you're just.
No.
You're just cheaper ass. Like, you're not trying to get $100. You want her. You want.
You're
I gotta buy
blue,
you 377s.
You're blue ribbon ass.
You buy me 377s, and I'm gonna blow you in the parking lot. Like, that's low level prostitute to me. Like,
my goal was to get girls drinks to buy drinks for me. That was my goal. In the single days.
Because he's a whore.
I have no problem with that.
Oh, you the girls buy you drinks.
If you fuck, I would do a game. I would say, with my young looking face, I'd say, are you a gambler? Oh, okay, great. Well, let's play a game. You can guess my age within 2 years plus or minus. I'll buy you a drink, but if not, you owe me one. And that worked nine times out of ten. I was like, what the fuck? I know it's cheesy. Who gives a shit?
You got that, like, yeah, you owe me.
You know what it is? Yeah. I'll tell you what it is. It's his fucking swagger.
Yeah.
Because most guys, when they hit on women, it's like they're almost fucking apologetic about it.
Yeah,
and Kevin's like, I don't fucking want you. You want me? Fine. Buy me a drink. And women are like,
because I'm different.
I'm different.
Kev, you're...
The shoulder shake. The shoulder shake never lies. You'll beat me 10 times out of 10.
Do
you know how many times... How many times we did good cop, bad cop? I had to field questions like, yo, what the fuck's with your boy Gabe? He, that shoulder shake is so cute. I'm like, go talk to him. What's up?
Your douchiness comes off within the first 10 seconds.
I'm so glad it does.
Like, the first... And you can get... Girls probably get a good read on you right away. They either hate you or
they hate me
and
love me.
They love you, like, right away.
It's a hate or love. There's no in-between.
Because you're confident with your shit, and it's like, all right, this is what it is. Take it or leave it.
Or they hate you.
All right, cool. I totally
agree. Challenge.
And they want to bang. They want to bang.
Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna be. It's gonna be different with me. It's like no.
Many have tried, all have failed.
Here, a funny story about the shoulder shake. And this is I used to always go out, like, I was like,
He's a master.
You wear, like, white leather loafers?
My oldest cousin, Lisette, she would, me and her getting, like, she would always joke around, like you, that's like your rooster, like, your mating call, because I just do the same thing over again. And I went to a club one night with my oldest brother.
Yeah.
My oldest brother's a good looking, like, he looks like Johnny Depp, like, but he's the worst.
He's Robert Downey Jr.
Like, a combination. Yeah. But he, like, he dances so bad. And then one night, I just kept doing this the whole night. And he's like, dude, stop that. You look stupid. And like, I guarantee I'll go home with a girl just from doing this all night. And I was so stubborn about it. I did this
for an hour and a half straight.
I just kept doing it like that. And finally, this Australian girl's like, hey, I said, okay. And right away, we're like, making out. She lived a block away from the club. Dying. Like,
I knew that was coming. I said, I'm going to time that down perfectly.
I know my boy. I know how he works.
That shoulder shake.
Walking out of the club, I just looked at me like.
Oh, shit. That's
that shoulder shake. Every time you did that bit on stage at the fucking Good Cop, Bad Cop, that always brought the girls like, that's so cute. He's so nice. Dude, I'm like, I'm like, if I could bottle up your nice essence in a fucking cologne and sell that, I'd be a fucking millionaire. Like that. You know, that.
I'm sure it exists in Washington Heights.
Yeah, right. With the Jesus Christ candles. Like,
You should do that shit in fucking Waynesburg to warm up those chill hipster hearts.
Yes.
Yes. Challenge accepted.
Wait, oh my god! What?
That's racist.
I'm just a bottled up. It's funny. You look at my background.
Real Cuban?
Well, looking now, like, I want to do more, like, in material about, like, my background and shit. Like, I am a fucking salsa child. Like, I don't know if you know who Celia Cruz was.
Yeah, of course.
My dad played with Celia Cruz.
Oh, shit.
Wow. My dad was a big, like, time, like, trumpet player. My dad is so, like, jealous when it comes to, like, old talent. Like, my dad hates Gloria Estefan.
Unbelievable.
Hates?
My dad's band was called La Tremenda. And they were, like, the number two band in Miami. Number one was Miami Sound Machine. And my dad hates Gloria Estefan. But I was like, dude, like, her husband was a marketing genius. Again, he just knew how to market her. She was a great fucking performer.
Yeah.
But one of the best things he ever did was in Cayocho. His band got to play for, like, Celia Cruz was the lead singer with their band. And it's funny, like, I have pictures on Facebook and shit. Even, like, you don't read, like, you're so spoiled as a kid that I didn't realize this fucking culture I was getting. Like, I remember there's pictures of my brother with Tito Puentes.
Wow.
Like, Willie Chirino was, like, good friends with my dad. And this is, as a little kid, like, you just playing fucking hide and seek.
Oh, my God.
Harry Belafonte, did you guys ever?
Possibly. I mean, this is just stuff that I was a little kid, so I didn't really appreciate it.
How old is Celia Cruz now? Like,
she's dead. She died.
Oh, she died? Yeah. When did this happen?
A couple years ago?
I'd say over 5 years ago.
Maybe 10 years ago?
They had a big funeral in Miami. Man. Huge funeral in Miami.
Wow.
But that's, like, I grew up into that and not in appreciating it. But it's funny, like, me doing that joking now, that's kind of probably all I got from that. Like,
yeah.
Because nobody ever... Every Miami person is kind of like a similar background. Like, you're so sheltered. Like, you don't... You think you're Cuban, but you're so Americanized.
Yeah.
And most Cubans in Miami speak the worst Spanish ever because they'd be like, oye, bro, fucking Miami, Miami, we're going to go. And, like, you'll say three Spanish words in a sentence and you speak perfect Spanish.
Yeah, I'd love to go to Cuba. We're good with Cuba now.
We can go now. The embassy's open.
Sanctions are lifted. What's Cuba known? I don't even know what Cuba's known.
It's
mojitos.
Right now,
it's
sugarcane, mojito, salsa.
Fucking music, man.
Music, okay.
And the food.
Food is amazing.
It's just like, if you go there now, it's still in the 60s. It's funny, really? I joke, but it's like, the reason Cubans came to fucking the States is because of one bad Cuban.
Batista.
Like, Fidel Castro.
Oh, Batista too, right?
People weren't really coming over here yet. Like, he was a puppet.
Yeah.
Fucking, but then he went his own way. But
Castro,
I mean, he's the worst.
But, like, think about it, like, as cute as you guys say me shaking my shoulders is, like, that's all Cubans fucking dance salsa and they make babies, dude. Like,
yeah.
Well, they're not allowed to do anything.
They're not allowed to do anything. But you can't even do it over there now because there's not enough food. So that's why everybody came to Miami to fucking just.
I actually had a dream about that because I was listening to Buena Vista Social Club last night, just like to fall asleep, and for some reason I was like thinking about like how. This is fucked up. I was like thinking about like what it takes to like get on a fucking raft to try to get to Miami and how you would do that. And
pure balls,
like,
dude.
How, like, pure, you know, but like also because I grew up, you know, my parents came from a communist country as well, but it was a landlocked one. But like how, I don't know, it's weird that we're talking about it because I actually was like kind of dozing off thinking about like what it takes and how you would have to do it. And like, you know, did they have people on the beaches making sure people didn't like kind of fucking do rafts or could you, I don't know. Anyhow, it's just interesting. We were talking about it because I was totally, but like Buena Vista Social Club and then all those artists basically.
Yeah, they were all the beasts, the legends that you never were going to hear about because this guy went in there and found them all.
The fucking so awesome. Talent and,
There's a new video.
The rawness, you know, like the raw talent, but also just that raw like passion, but not even like it's. I mean, the passion's there, but just, you know, like that's it. That's what you have. You have music, and it's everything, right? Todo
una vida. Well, it's funny. Like, I guess it's kind of like the new wave of like Buena Vista. These kids, it's a sister and a brother that like I knew from high school. I played football with the kid in high school, and then his sister was like the hot actress in. They filmed a documentary that I saw the screening like a month ago and it was so badass. It's the biggest concert probably like ever held, kind of music festival style.
Yeah.
And you know the Juanes?
Juarez?
Juanes.
Oh.
Juanes is like the best Spanish guy, like a male Shakira. Like
yeah,
in that popularity.
Yeah. Juanes.
Like adios,
yeah.
Slippy.
Yeah.
But he led this like, and it's funny, my friends were the producers of this concert. And I got to show you why people
he's
come over
Cuban?
Here. He's Colombian, but he basically wanted to do this movement for the Cuban people as far as like a positive kind of reform. The documentary was so awesome because it showed all the fucking shit happening with communism and stuff that even like they canceled the show that day because it was so bad, like people just spying on you all the time that like the guy that was his server 3 days before was like his usher. It's like they had a guy on them all the time and they won't, it was nuts.
I don't even feel like it was communism. What? Okay.
No, yeah, make your point.
Oh, no, I'm just saying. Really, like, I don't even know. It was just, it was a dictatorship.
Absolutely.
Like, it said
it's
it
just
was
one guy wanted to keep power.
He
tried to decide, do I go capitalism or communism? He's like, which one's going to
keep me? But it wasn't even communism.
Whoops.
It was just a pure dictatorship.
I think he's just a
But he probably needed a little bit.
You know, I went to high school. I went to the same high school as Fidel Castro. I had, being Catholic, like, communism, they banned religion.
Oh, yeah.
He went to Colegio de Belen in Cuba. I had two Jesuit priests that went to high school with him, and they would tell the stories about him all the time. They basically said he was a dick, but he had that charisma. He was just such a fucking leader.
Spoiler alert.
He had the sounds charisma. Like he was me. A tower figure. He's like 6'2", so yeah. He towered over everybody. He was really intimidating.
I actually saw a documentary about him and some. I think and just some of the family members and thing. It was really interesting. I forget what it was called because I just kind of happened upon it. But yeah, it was his charisma. You're absolutely right. And I think that the people following him initially, you know, had no idea that it was going to lead to anything bad. Yeah, he really seemed like the good guy.
He probably had a bit of good intentions until he's like, fuck it. Like, I'm just taking
it. Yeah, but
like,
he had such power. I mean, that's the thing.
Like, he even got rid of, he got rid of Che. He got rid of, like, the number, Che, like, he sent him to Bolivia and got him killed.
Yep.
Camilo Cienfuego was, like, the most charismatic Cuban at the time. He, like, arrested him. He was like, I can't let these guys be anywhere near the same status as me. And,
but that's like, I mean, that's the same thing as Stalin.
Absolutely.
You know?
God damn, this is one big history lesson. Constantinople, Castro, JC talking about
communism and Catholics and
gay thoughts, leaving the church.
You're not gay if you
and douchebaggery. But unfortunately, kids, we have to go make money right now. So we want to say thank you so much for listening. Let's go around for plugs. Monica Vita, where can we find you?
My big show is the Men All Pause Tour, which is making its way to New York City. Awesome Ladies of Comedy. Ken Boyd is hosting that show January 29th. We're at Broadway Comedy Club at 7 p.m., so come check us out.
Very cool.
JC knows best.
You can find me hosting my own podcast, Three Drink Minimum.
Oh, yeah.
Every Monday night. And a new web series coming out called Comedians, Why We're Messed Up. It's huge for me. We're going to premiere the trailer on Tuesday, and then after that, we're going to start putting out those episodes just about every week. Comedians, Why We're Messed Up. That's what
I'm going to be on it.
Yes.
Besides, this is tonight going to Sweet 16 is going to be my rock out performance.
Rock out with your cock out
in front of 16-year-olds. Yeah. of 2016. I do a regular show on Friday and Saturdays in the Village at a place called the Grizzly Pear, which is basically a shithole.
No!
But, basically, it is a shithole.
But it's a great place to develop your act.
It's a dive
bar. I just, you're going to see more sketch comedy from Gabe Dorado in 2016.
Okay.
That's kind of been my overall goal.
The Cuban masseuse would be good to get on there.
That's kind of why I want to start I want to start banging out a sketch once a month.
You can see me, well, hell, the Sweet 16 tonight, but who gives a shit? No one's going to be able to hear this till then. I got a church gig in 2 weeks. Oh, boy. but the big one, I got other random gigs, Grizzly Pear several times, doing a spot in Staten Island. But the big one, Levy Live.
Nice.
In the Palisades Mall, Wednesday, January 27th. And then 28th, I'll be at the Lovecraft. Who cares about that? But January 29th, I'll be flying to Aruba, more importantly. So I'll see you guys a week after that. About
there's
that.
The douchebag.
My wintering.
Are you doing a spot in Aruba?
I actually hit up, because Christus Fano is going to be down there. Nice. I know him. I'm like, dude, can you get me in there? And the guy, he goes, here's the booker's name. Hit him up.
Sweet.
And I wrote him, and he wrote me back, yes. He's like, I'm sorry. I said, if you can get me for five, I don't give a shit. I said, just love
spot.
Yeah, so whatever. So doubtful, but I try. We'll see. But Levity Live, end of the last Wednesday in December.
Great club.
January. Yeah, it's great. Good time. Thanks a lot, Kevin Goatee, Monica Vita, at Kevin Goatee on Twitter, at Monica Vita. But most importantly,
at Mocha Vita.
The goddamn show of shows will be coming sooner than you think. Comics watching comics. Monica Vita was on that. JC Knows Best was on that.
Maybe. Terrible set.
Gabe couldn't wake up for it.
Yeah.
No.
Keep watching comicswatchingcomics.com or at comicswatching on Twitter. Thanks a lot. See you next time.
Thank you.
Woo!